Spit to the Beat. Podcast. Oh. It's all about inside the music industry. Industry is strong.
Nobody do it better. And welcome to Spit to the Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Stacy, a.k.a. Beat Unstoppable Perrier. And welcome to another great show I have lined up for you. But before we get started, I want to definitely make sure you catch some of these video clips of the show on Facebook Live on my page at Stacy B Unstoppable Perrier or Stacy Spit to the Beat Perrier. Also, you can go on my YouTube channel and catch the full clip episode of this show on Spit to the Beat YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share, and hit that notification button. I really do appreciate it. And we're back. I got a very special guest in the studio with me. I finally tracked her down, and she's has joined me. Now we're going to go ahead and get this thing started and rolling. I'm waiting to just dive into her as far as her background in the music industry. So without further ado, I want to welcome to the show Miss Rachel Maxanne.
Hello.
Hey, finally got you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I know. Sometimes I'm a little hard to track down, but it's worth it.
Yes. I was determined. So tell my audience a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So Rachel Maxanne, a singer, songwriter who lives here in Memphis, originally from Cincinnati, kind of going here and there before landing in Memphis. And eventually I want to have a place in Mexico too, but that's a little further off.
Are you enjoying this heat?
You know, I prefer the heat over the cold.
Really? From Cincinnati.
Yes. And it's so snowy over there and it's so cold for so much longer. Like if I have to choose between the two, I'll take the heat. I'll take the heat any day.
Wow. So tell us about your music. I mean, kind of touched on some questions about being diverse and stuff like that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love a lot of different genres. Growing up, I listened to a lot of metal, a lot of emo, a lot of rock, stuff like that. And then my parents were always into Motown. My mom was into bluegrass. And we got trained in classical. So definitely just have always been interested in every genre. So I feel like it really affects my music that way because I don't mind putting emo elements, whatever elements into my music if kind of that's where it's leading me. So that's kind of where the genre bending comes in with just me liking everything and not being exclusive to any type of music.
Good. I was going to ask you about that because I know the other thing that you like the folklore and vintage type music. What is that about?
So vintage indie rock, I actually coined both those terms.
Okay.
Because I was trying to find something that really described it. Folk is close and rock is close, but really when I say vintage indie rock, I have a very indie rock feel to my songs, but it has some of those, kind of doo-wop beats here and there. So it's kind of the indie music, if you imagine if it was from the 50s era, and kind of mixed in with that modern indie rock element as well. As far as the postmodern folklore, I feel pretty much all my songs have some type of storytelling element to them.
Okay.
And when you think about folk music, most of the time people have this image of Bob Dylan or even older folk music, but mine's a little more on the modern side. Especially since we have access to all these, one amazing instrumentalist here in Memphis, but also I have a great producer who can pull out really cool, almost digital sounding parts of the song. So it definitely is heavily based in folk, but it has a little a little more in the present as well.
Cool. Tell me about your performance as far as when you're out there performing, even here around in the city of Memphis. How has in Memphis as well as outside of Memphis your performance and people receive your music?
You know, it's been a really great reception here in Memphis, especially. I think, you know, a lot of living in Memphis has shaped like almost like a final form, almost like a Pokemon form of my type of music, where I'm like, okay, like I want to have more soul and blues in it now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as far as the performance goes, they tend to be very intimate, especially when I'm playing by myself, because, you know, either I'm playing solo, just me and my guitar, or I'm doing like with maybe a duo, maybe a trio, violinist and cello player, or I have a full band. So, you know, guitars and bass and drums and whatnot. So I kind of, you know, depending on the setting, it can go from a very fun, you know, dancey party vibe to like a listening room, like, let me spill out all my feelings to you kind of vibe.
I love it. I love it. So you set your own vibe. That's good. You know, a lot of artists, I guess, when you get on stage, you just got to feel the vibe of the crowd, and then you got to move into that energy.
And I exactly.
Think that, yeah, I think that will get you flowing real good. So when you came to Memphis, how old were you, and what did the Memphis music do to you as far as, did it change you a little bit as far as your music ideology or what?
So I actually moved to Memphis in 2020, okay. Which was a crazy time to move for obvious reasons. But I wanted to try something different. I kind of wanted to like lay low somewhere a little bit, kind of wait out the pandemic. And I feel like the influence on me especially is the idea that there is a lot of Black folk artists. And not that I like thought I was per se the only one, but I just didn't realize that they had big followings and they had like actually a lot of people backing them. So it really inspired and encouraged me to explore that more. And again, kind of really delve into the folk side of my music. Like I've always like written folky music, but it definitely... Yeah, I definitely pushed it another step. And then, of course, there is like a blues element and a rock element here in Memphis. That's undeniable. Seen a lot of great shows since I've been here. And it's just a really great music city. So it's hard not to be inspired by, you know, the people around me, whether it be my friends or like who are a lot of musicians or, you know, just going down Beale Street or just, you know, like I said, catching a show here in Memphis. Like it's all very inspirational to me.
Great, great. Hold on for a second, Rachel. We're going to take a quick PR break and be right back.
Okay.
Hey, this is Stacey, a.k.a. Beat Unstoppable Per Year with Spit to the Beat Podcast. Would you like to be my guest if you're a singer, songwriter, musician, producer, or promoter? Give me a call at 901-341-6777 or email me at myguest@spittothebeat.com. And we are back with Spit to the Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey, a.k.a. Be Unstoppable Perrier, along with my special guest today in the studio with me virtually, Miss Rachel Maxanne. Tell my audience a little bit about the music as far as you talked earlier about how Memphis have shaped you a little bit, mm-hmm. and your concern as far as your delivery on music and stuff like that. How have folklore, something that really we don't hear a lot of, impact Memphis?
That's a good question.
It's kind of like a reverse thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You reverse Uno'd me. So, you know, when I think about how folk has, you know, shaped Memphis or really any city, like folk has, you know, this background of being storytelling. It's the music of the people for the people. Mm-hmm. Thus, you know, the whole name folk music. So, of course, Memphis has a lot of history to it, a lot of stories to be told. And I think the way that folk music helps influence Memphis is just being able to tell that story, you know, being able to, you know, have those protest songs, have that, you know, kind of almost country-ish element, because, you know, at the end of the day, much like, I, you know, I think almost any other type of music, like folk is originally from Black people. Mm-hmm. Like we brought over the banjos, you know, we kind of had that country influence. So,
right.
You know, I think Memphis being able to embrace folk as its own is really important, because we, you know, as a city, I think tend to be trendsetters. Like we're a music city for a reason.
Is there an artist that have you worked here in Memphis? I mean, since your time being here since 2020, have you worked with, collaborated with as far as bringing that, both of those sounds together?
Right. So I have an amazing producer named Doug. He works over the Swerve Workshop. It's a very, really, really cool, like very self-made, you know, studio. And he has really helped me like bring a lot of my ideas to life, because I might not ever be able to get a whole symphony behind me. But you know, his computer thingies can, and I'm like, oh, fantastic. You know, luckily I do have a fantastic, cellist and the violinist on hand, but, yeah, there's definitely been some great, collaborations, especially the violinist is also my best friend, Alice Hazen. She's absolutely amazing, plays the fiddle like none other, and studied like folk music and, you know, fiddling tunes and whatnot. So as we started to play together, I did notice, I'm like, oh, okay, like this is getting even more folky, because, you know, the violin just adds that element to it, yes. that fiddling. You know, and outside of that, I've been lucky to be inspired by some Memphis-based folk artists, Valerie June being one of them. I joined her for a portion of her Moon and Stars tour. Was that last year? Wow. Like last year. And, you know, even though we haven't been able to like write songs together yet or anything like that, just being able to, you know, see how people welcome her, to see the types of music she does that is, you know, so beautiful and so meaningful. It really did inspire me again, you know, and it was, you know, it just worked out really well. She was, you know, from Memphis. So I was like, oh yeah, you know, you can do this. I can do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that goes right into my next question. How's your songwriting process? How do that go about? When you're in the studio or at home, you're chilling, you're drinking on some wine maybe or whatever, fill in the vibe. So how did that process go?
That, you pretty much hit it on the nose. yeah, most of the time, like I do try to take time where I'm just like, you know, sit, write, chill. But more often than not, it gets kind of inspired in that moment. Maybe, you know, like I said, I've had a good glass of wine and able to chill out, and I'm thinking something's been on my heart. And then it usually comes out within the day, if not maybe 2 days. Like my, you know, songwriting process is sometimes far and few between, but, you know, it happens very quickly. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I get like the pattern of what the, you know, tuning, whatever, the words kind of flow out, because there's usually something always on my heart. Like I'm a very sensitive person. So I tend to like have something always in my mind that like, you know, I need to get out, and writing really helps me process things and helps me kind of like lay it out and, you know, make it not seem so bad or too stressful. Cause it's like, well, I can't be too mad about it. It's a song now.
And it's a hit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the guitar is your go-to instrument, or is there any other instruments that you're able to play?
You know, guitar is my go-to, but I was originally trained on piano. Okay. And I play it here and there. Like I just played it on my album release show. And every once in a while, I'll do a gig at the Zebra Lounge in Midtown. But yeah, I just kind of moved from piano to guitar, mostly convenience sake. Like, it's harder to move around a freaking piano than it is guitar any day. So I was like, yeah. Nah, I'm going to focus more on guitar. It helps me get to places easier.
A lot easier to pack up.
So much easier to pack up.
Can you imagine you going down the street with a big old piano in the back of the truck?
Right. I'm like, I don't know how people do it. I have a few pianist friends, and I'm like, that just seems like that's about
a lot of work
with having, with being like a drummer. And I'm like, I'm not trying to carry all that stuff. But besides that, I've been teaching myself banjo. I have a ukulele. And, you know, I just kind of like every once in a while just pick up random instruments. I have a harmonica that I'm not particularly good at yet. But, you know, those are, I feel like piano and guitar are like my two main. And then like I dabble in some other instruments.
Okay. We talked about your performance and stuff. So do you have any other projects, coming up?
Near future? As far as projects go, actually, I have a song that I wrote recently that I plan on recording. I might wait until October because I'm doing a small like St. Louis weekend, and part of the time that I'll be there, I'll be, you know, in a studio. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll kind of hold off on that. So that won't really be till October. Until then, you know, I'm still writing. I've been thinking about like a song I might want to cover, just like as, you know, put out as a single. And and then of course, like I mentioned my producer earlier, he also writes songs. Mm-hmm. So I told him like, as soon as we get this album done, like we should focus on some of your stuff. And I love to, you know, put lyrics to it because he writes these beautiful flowing arrangements. And then just, you know, we'll sit in the studio, like, you know, with the wine and hanging out. And I'll be like, let me see if I can, you know, figure out some words to this. So, yeah, so that would probably be mostly what I'm doing as far as new projects.
Okay, cool. Hold tight. One more time. We'll take another PR break. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Hey, this is Stacy, a.k.a. Be Unstoppable Purrier. Thank you for listening to our show, Spit to the Beat Podcast. If you would like to be a sponsor, visit our website at www.spittothebeat.com and click the support tab and leave a donation. We really will appreciate it. Thank you again for listening. Also, catch every episode Thursday morning at 8 a.m. All right. Look, let's talk about that album you just done. Mm-hmm. You produced. What's the songs on there? How many tracks you got on there?
So it is 11 tracks.
Okay.
Which it just kind of worked out that way. And I don't know, I wanted it to be an odd number. Don't ask me why, I just wanted it to be an odd number.
Yeah, normally it'd be like 12 or something like that. Most
so
people.
What is it?
So normally it'd be like 12 or maybe 10.
Yeah, like 10 or 12. Yeah. Like I know there's not too many albums out there that have 11. Not that I know of anyways. They tend to run toward even numbers, but I was like, I'm gonna make it odd.
Something different. Oh wow.
Yeah.
What's the name of some of the songs?
So the album itself is called Black Fae, and then there's a song.
It's already released, right?
Oh yeah, it is.
Okay,
it is
cool.
Out there into the world. I've actually also, I just started a Kickstarter because I really want to put it on vinyl. It'll be my first vinyl, and those things cost so much money, just for even a few of them. So yeah, we'll you know, fingers crossed on that, but yeah, one of them is called, Remember the Stars, which is kind of a environmental song. I wrote it actually, I think it was last year. I went to Mexico for about a month with my dog, and we'd sit by the beach like every day and just, you know, have our time. And I noticed within all the beauty and the landscape, there was also so much trash, like coming up, but I'm like, oh, this would be such a, you know, serene place if it weren't for like the piles of trash. So that kind of inspired that. Yeah, that kind of inspired that song. I have a song on there called Seven Seas, which that one kind of discusses like my traveling more or less and the feeling of, you know, after I was gone from Cincinnati, like I left when I was like 17 and we kind of like come in and out here and there. But, you know, the time that I was away, probably the longest, I'd come back. I don't think I'd visited home for like 2 or 3 years at that point. And it just, it didn't hit the same as home before. Cause before I'd be like, oh, you know, I live in this city, but like, you know, hometown Cincinnati, and I was in the, going back, but I had the feeling that it really wasn't that anymore. And it's such a, it's a jarring feeling. Cause I'm like, well, this is, you know, it'll always be my home. Like my family's here. I always, and friends, like I always come back and visit, but it no longer felt like my home, home. So yeah, it kind of, the song kind of talks about that a little bit.
How did Memphis get on your radar then?
So I was actually on a tour in 2019. I did a solo tour, and Memphis was one of the cities that I had picked out because I, you know, I'd never really been there. I knew it was a music city, and I was, you know, of course, doing the Cincinnati to Nashville to Memphis to, I can't even tell you all the stops now, Louisville in Atlanta. There was a bunch of places on the tour, but I just really fell in love with Memphis. I fell in love with the people. I played with a band called the Everdeens and a band called Mama Honey. And they are just the most wonderful people to have a show with. They're just very kind, very talented. And, you know, I intentionally had like a day off in Memphis. And I, you know, went to Midtown and Sun Studio and Stax and just had like, you know, a little mini adventure of just you know, hanging on Memphis. I'm like, this is such an awesome city. So I felt very attracted to it already.
You said earlier that you had, sometimes you perform by yourself. Have you ever done a complete performance with all the instruments that you attempt to play besides the guitar?
You know, probably the closest I've come lately was the album release where I had my full band, but I also had my cellist and my violinist and my producer there to play piano, as well as a couple other guest artist friends of mine. Our Marcella Simeon came and she was like singing backbound and playing, and Louise Page like came and played a song on piano for me, and Bailey Bigger came with a second guitar. So yeah, that was probably the most like people and most like kind of collaborative show I've had in a while, because if it was all of the instruments I wanted and had in my album, it'd be a pretty big band to have every time.
Awesome. Look, before we wrap the show up, I want to ask you one other thing. What would you say to artists that are coming up in the music industry not to get trapped in a box of just one genre, as we talked about earlier, but what word of advice would you give to them as they're coming up to fight against those doors that may shut in their face?
Right. I would say, you know, yes, don't listen to other people when they try to limit you, but more importantly, don't let you limit yourself. Because I think sometimes we feel like we have to fit in a box to make it make sense for ourselves. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we are very complex, you know, beings on this earth, and we are capable of having lots of different thoughts and lots of different feelings and lots of different interests. So I would say, you know, don't pigeonhole yourself. Like, you can explore anything you want, because the world is your oyster. So why not?
Awesome. Great. I want to thank Miss Rachel Maxanne for being on Spit to the Beat podcast, taking time out of her day to spend with me and to share with my audience about the music industry and her journey in the music industry. hold tight for me as we wrap up the show. I'll be right back, okay?
Cool.